Let's read from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 10, from the verse number 25 to the verse number 37. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10, starting with the verse number 25, I desire that we read with the help of our Lord. And for our encouragement and spiritual growth in the faith of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. This far I desire that we read from this passage, this chapter. And now, before we proceed on with sharing and meditating upon this passage, let us stand up and join in prayer to the Lord. Heavenly Father, Thou hast sent us this message by Thy beloved Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In him thou hast given us a perfect example of loving our neighbor as ourselves. In him, O Heavenly Father, thou hast revealed to us the path of righteousness. Through him thou hast opened the heavenly portals. In him thou hast paid for our sins. Thou hast offered that sacrifice, the only sacrifice, capable and sufficient to pay for our sins, to redeem us. By His blood, O Heavenly Father, Thou hast provided purification, cleansing away of our sins, O Lord. And by His Spirit of obedience, faithfulness, true godliness, Thou art, O Lord, sustaining our souls on the path of righteousness. We thank Thee, O Lord. And we desire to praise Thee and to worship Thee continually for Thy great goodness and mercy, for Thy loving kindnesses, for Thy protection, Thy guidance, Thy instruction, and Thy patience and Thy forgiveness, O Lord. How great is Thy love, how perfect Thy faithfulness. None of Thy promises ever failed. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we pray today for this small number of ours gathered around Thy holy word, and for all the others, O Lord, scattered far and wide, for those that are gathered in larger numbers than ours, and for those that are two or three together, and especially, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we pray for those that are all alone and yet in the name of Christ. We pray for all that are falsely accused, unjustly condemned, and persecuted because they are Thine. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, for all of us we pray, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, our Redeemer, our Mediator, that Thou, Lord God, by Thy Holy Spirit be present in every heart. And as Thou look upon us in Thy great goodness and mercy, O Father, we pray that Thou make us alert, make us sober. Help us, O Lord, to meditate upon that holy word of Thine, to have our spiritual hearing inclined to the voice of Thy Spirit, our spiritual sight focusing on the example of the Savior, and our heart opened and enlarged to receive these gifts and blessings that Thou hast prepared. Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou keep us from wandering to and fro, thinking about our businesses, our needs in this everyday walk. Keep us from worrying about food and shelter and raiment. And help us, O Heavenly Father, to realize our spiritual needs and then to embrace by faith Thy kingdom. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, Thou grant us Thy presence today. And may our hearts and our souls, our minds be so filled with the message of this blessed gospel that until we get together again, or until the end of our pilgrimage, that we may, O Heavenly Father, walk in the steps of the Savior, that Thy strength in us would prevail against all the temptations. Thy encouragement be stronger than all the threats of our enemy. And Thy light, O Lord, to disperse the darkness, that in our souls there be no shadow of changing, but Thy light, Thy Spirit, ruling in our hearts and controlling our lives and giving us that peace of Thy forgiveness, that peace of Thy safe keeping of our souls, and the joy of Thy salvation every day new. gracious Lord, Almighty God, we pray that Thou forgive us our weaknesses, shortcomings, mistakes, disobediences, misunderstandings. Thou forgive us all that is not pleasing Thee, O Lord, and Thou purify our thinking, emotions, affections. Cleanse away every impurity, every uncleanness, and remove every disobedience. And Thou, O Heavenly Father, make us free from doubts and fears. Make us strong in faith. Deliver us from every form of vanity and pride, lust of the flesh, lust of eyes. And Thou, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, adorn our souls with the modesty and meekness. Thou make us humble, for Thou art leading us toward that heavenly glory. Holy Father, Thou remove from our hearts envy and bitterness and wrath, vengeance. And Thou fill our souls with Thy pure, holy, heavenly love, that gentle power that prevailed against all the fury of the enemy as Thou wast patiently suffering in the palace of the high priest, in the judgment hall of the Romans, on the way to Golgotha and on the cross, O Lord. Thou grant us that love of Thine, that we may love Thee with the same love, O Lord, that we may love one another, that we may together, O Heavenly Father, strive to love even those that oppose the gospel and those that threaten us as enemies. O Lord, help us to overcome evil with Thy good, the good gifts that Thou hast given us, O Lord. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, that Thou keep us steadfast in that blessed hope, that we, being in expectation of that glorious day, may be always aware that each testing and trial here is just for a time, that soon our pilgrimage will be ended, and soon, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we will hear Thy calling. That at that time, O Lord, the joy of Thy salvation may increase and not disappear in human fear. We pray that Thou lead us and Thou teach us. Make us faithful and make us useful witnesses of Thy holy gospel. And Thou, Lord, proclaim this blessed news, and Thou move the hearts that Thou art calling. And Thou, Heavenly Father, deliver the souls that Thou hast redeemed in Christ, and Thou bring to the Savior all those that are waiting, knowing or unaware, waiting for Thy salvation, O Lord. And then, O Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou make an end of sin and woe, and proclaim Thy mighty power, glory and majesty of Thy holy name in this measureless universe. Gracious Lord, in the meantime, Thou heal the sick, strengthen the weak, and Thou, O Heavenly Father, comfort the sad and deliver the oppressed, encourage those that are distressed, and unite Thy people in peace and joy of Thy salvation. O Lord God Almighty, may in everything Thy name be exalted, praised, worshipped, honored, glorified. as in heaven, so in earth. For thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. Amen. We read from the verse number 25 this passage just recently. I think last Sunday we talked about, yes, we did, and talk about the woman that was burdened with many sins, and yet she had great love, and that was an indication that her sins are forgiven. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ proclaimed that freely and openly, perhaps to the amazement and maybe even to the displeasure of those that had outward righteousness. And I think that example or that spiritual lesson is guiding us how to deal with those that are turning to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and forsaking sins and the world of sin and vanity and seeking his salvation. Now in this chapter we see that our Lord and Savior is teaching us how to understand a commandment, a very old commandment. The Hebrews apparently wanted to know which commandment is the greatest. I wonder why they needed to know which is the greatest commandment. Did they want to somehow dispose of the other commandments that are not as great? Or did they want to take some credit thinking, well, I will fulfill this most important commandment and then the rest, well, whichever way it comes out. But our Lord and Savior told them, this is the first and this is the great commandment. Apparently he did not use comparison. I think that if we find a small commandment in the scripture, we are somehow reducing the authority of God. We try to make that small. Why should any commandment be small? And perhaps we might be tempted by our enemy, our adversary, to consider a commandment small so that we wouldn't feel obliged to keep that commandment. But our Lord and Savior did not multiply commandments. He told us the direction. He told us to choose the good direction and get as close to him as we see, as we can understand his word. And if we do that, we don't even need the commandments as commandments to compel us to do something. The commandments will become instructions that will inspire us, encourage us, and tell us that the path that we have chosen, that the Lord is, the direction that the Lord is guiding us toward or in, is the right one. That, as the Lord is praying in his prayer in John 17, and he says, Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, to see my glory. It's not, if I understand correctly, and if not, when we get to the time of our sharing and discussing the Word of God, please feel free to correct me. But I think this was not a demand, Lord, I will something, whether the Father will that or not. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in his prayer is agreeing, giving himself to the will of the Father. Yes, Father, I will all that thy will is. That's his prayer. That's how I would understand it. Now, the Lord said that to love God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, strength, time, everything that he has given us to use in love for him, is the fulfillment of the whole scripture, the word of God. And here come a man and asked the Lord. Now, this man was a lawyer. He's an educated man. He not only knows the scripture, but he knows that he knows. That's very important to him. And not only that, it's important to this man that everybody else know that he knows. So, he has the complete knowledge of this world. And through that style, so to say, this man is trying to explain the Word of God. I almost said he's trying to understand, but I don't think so. He's not trying to understand. He's trying to explain. He wants to be a teacher. He's a lawyer. He's a man that studied the law. And now it's time for him to display his knowledge. And he's asking, tempting the Lord, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, why would anyone tempt the Lord? This man was sure that he knows, and now he will see if this so-called prophet from Nazareth knows something of the Bible too. All the people that ever tried to tempt the Lord either were disappointed or surprised or both. At least that's my impression as I read diverse passages of the scripture. And this man saying to the Lord, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord is answering to this man with a question. And I think that can help us. If we ever notice that someone is tempting us, asking a question, supposedly biblical question, a question with spiritual meaning, then a good and practical way often is ask another question back. Our Lord said, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" So, the person that was testing the Lord is being tested. Now, I hope that none of us will fall into that trap to test the Lord, even though we might be inclined to that, being in the flesh and having some education and some knowledge and sometimes being perhaps a feeling that it's not that enjoyable to be always humble. At least occasionally I should earn some credit, some honor on account of what I know. Perhaps some Bible studies and discussions of the Word of God can reveal that. That somebody said something and then another one said the same thing in slightly different way. It seemed that I just want to say something. I just let my voice be heard also. We should be careful not to do that. And to seek the will of the Lord, to search what is His will. And I think we should encourage one another to participate in those discussions and to feel free to study the Word of God together and so on. But then again, we also should be on guard not to give any room to the enemy to waste the time that is so short and so precious and important to us. But back to this passage. This man is answering. Actually, I don't remember, and I might be not quite correct, but I don't remember that I ever read in the old scriptures this commandment so condensed and so complete. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. What is left? Thy whole being should be filled with godliness. There is no single spot in the heart or mind of this person to allow the enemy to drop his seed. In that mind there is no room for any thought that is not godly. In that heart there is not a single feeling that is not godly. In that soul there is no a tremor of temptation or waving. The will of the Lord is all. Perfect life. You know, I think that this man unknowingly was describing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't think he knew that. But I believe that's exactly what he did. I don't think there was ever any man that fulfilled this commandment as it is presented here. The lawyer knew how to say the word of God in such a strong way. And then he added the second commandment of love, or the second part of the commandment of love, and thy neighbor as thyself. Now, our Lord answered to this man, the answer is correct. Do this, and thou shalt live. Now the Lord presented the answer in such a way, it's not, do this all of thy life, and then after your death, you will have that life everlasting. The Lord said, as long as you do this, you have life. So it's not waiting for the glorious eternity and living a miserable life. It's a relationship with the Lord, with the Father, with the Savior, every day. Now, this is something that I think most of us are praying for ever since we turned to the Lord. To love Him with our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole soul, our strength, our time, everything that He gave to us, just to love Him. And yet, I'm confident I'm not going to disappoint anybody, because most of you know me. I'm far from that. There is still a great distance between my daily walk and the daily walk of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this earth. The amazing thing is that this man did not apparently have any problem with that perfect commandment of perfect love for the perfect God. No question about that. He took care of that. He's all right. His question is, and who is my neighbor? So when we look at that verse 27, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. That's almost the whole verse. Only one more line here in this book. And thy neighbor as thyself. With the big part of this verse, this man has no problems. Why? He perhaps feels no one can see. Who can tell how much he loves God? What is in his mind? What is in his heart? What is in his soul? How he is using his strength when no other man is watching him. Oh, this man is concerned for his outward godliness, not for his heart. Now, saying this, I want to be very careful not to leave some vacuum for some misapplication. There are so many people that say, it's not important how do I appear. It's not important what I do. The important thing is what is in my heart. Well, it's not a secret. Everybody knows what is in the heart appears in our behaviors, in our manner, in our deeds, in our appearance, in everything. It just cannot be that in my heart I want to be I long for godliness, and in my manners I'm godless. It doesn't work. Yes, we never reach the level of godliness that we are striving for, because our Lord's example is perfect and we are imperfect. We are striving for perfection. But the direction of our life indicates what is in our heart. If somebody is backsliding, it would be an unreasonable thing to say, "Oh, I'm growing in zeal for the Lord. My heart is more and more fervent every day." Well, good that you told us. We never noticed. But it doesn't work that way. Here, this man has the question, "Who is my neighbor?" Why is that? Apparently, some elimination is necessary. I don't want to have too many neighbors. Who's going to love all of that number around me? So let's see, who is my neighbor, so I can limit my efforts toward that small number and prove that in that I am just. And you just do that and you shall live. He willing to justify himself. Why was he willing to justify himself? And if he was willing to justify himself, why didn't he ask, what does that mean to love God with all my heart? How do I do that? And how can I love God with all my soul? Is not that all together, heart and soul and mind and strength? Or can that be divided? Can I love God with all of my heart and not with all of my mind and with all of my soul and not with all of my strength and so on? I would think that if someone wanted to really be very academic or highly educated and filled with knowledge, could elaborate or discuss this commandment for a long time. But this man is focusing on the smaller part, and not without a reason. We can easily, as humans, being in the flesh, we could easily deceive ourselves that we truly love God much more than we love our neighbor. But apparently, it's not the case. The love of God in our hearts will immediately reflect toward our neighbor. It's just impossible to love God and not to have compassion for the souls that He has created. So, the Lord Jesus Christ, as His custom often was, did not give a list of his neighbors to him. The Lord didn't say, "This one, that one, and this one, and that one, and that one, these are your neighbors, for the rest you, never mind, don't care." No, the Lord said, "A certain man," now this is a story coming, a gospel story, a spiritual lesson for us. "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves." Why did not Lord say that this man was going from Bethlehem to Hebron? Why from Jerusalem to Jericho? There must be some meaning in this. "And he fell among the thieves." The thieves are between Jerusalem and Jericho, or maybe at that time they just came to that place waiting for those that will be going from Jerusalem to Jericho. "The thieves stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead." The Lord didn't say the thieves took all of his money, jewelry, the things that the thieves would be looking for. "They took his raiment." Was that raiment so costly, so expensive, so attractive that they would almost kill a man? Well, if they took his raiment, these thieves, why did they have to wound him? If the man was alone, he cannot prevail against a large group, or even if there were only two people or three people. But we read here that in this story, the Lord is not presenting to us how many thieves were there. But the Lord did say that it appears this man was alone. And so, this is what happened. They stripped him, wounded him badly. And the thieves departed, leaving this man half dead. Apparently, half dead means still alive, but unable to move, unable to help himself, unable to ask for help. Perhaps deeply unconscious. By chance, now when the Lord says by chance, that's something to think about. Is the Lord talking from the aspect of humans? Can there be any chance for the Lord, or is everything going on as the Father has appointed? In any case, the Lord said, he is here, that next thing to happen, there comes down a certain priest that way. Well, now let's think about that. This man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. That must have been a dangerous path, because on that path he was attacked by the thieves. In the same direction goes the priest. What happened to the priest? Is he safe? Is he protected? No, the priest is attacked by the same thieves, but he is not aware of that, and that makes it much more dangerous. How do we know that? He didn't help. This priest knows no Christ. He is not a godly person. He has no concern for the salvation of this soul. This priest is stripped of his raiment, and he is half dead too. Perhaps he is completely dead. Well, I didn't plan to say this. It just kind of came without previous intention. But anyway, after the priest, a Levite came. When he was at that place, he looked. Apparently, Levite being of a lower rank than a priest, this Levite came closer. It seems that the care or the concern for those that are in a predicament, for those that need help, it seems that that concern is smaller if the rank of the person is higher. Perhaps those that have some rank or some title or some office, they are rather concerned for their personal position and comfort and appearance, rather than the job, the task that the Lord has given them. So the Levite came close and he looked, but he turned away and passed by on the other side. Now, a certain Samaritan, is this Samaritan coming from Jerusalem? That's difficult. Could we find an answer to that? Samaritans were not welcomed in Jerusalem. This Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, where this wounded man, half-dead man was, And when the Samaritan saw this man, he had something that the priest and Levite apparently did not have. This Samaritan had compassion on the suffering person. So, having compassion, this Samaritan acted, worked. He did something. The Samaritan went down to the wounded man, bound up his wounds. This is the emergency, the first help. The most necessary thing. Stop bleeding. Stop contamination of the wounds. Take the most necessary care. Pouring in oil and wine. I hope we will go deeper in this in our Bible study time. What would that mean, oil and wine? And then set him on his own beast. Now this Samaritan didn't say, well, is there some kind of a public vehicle? Is there some emergency service that I can just call for and so on? Is anybody in charge here? No, this man is doing what he can. He set him on his own beast and brought this man in an inn and took care of him. Next morning, this Samaritan is getting ready to go on his journey, and he took out 2 pence, some payment, some money, and gave that to the host of the inn and said, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. That's the story. And the Lord is asking the lawyer, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Perhaps the Lord was very gentle with this lawyer. He didn't say the third man that came or passed by was a lawyer. And he didn't pay any attention to this man. He just went as far as he could and pretended that he didn't see anything. But I think maybe the Lord was gentle and didn't say that. And the question is to the lawyer, now, who is the neighbor? And the lawyer answered, he that showed mercy on him. Then said the Lord to the lawyer, go and do thou likewise. That's how you, lawyer, fulfill that smaller part of the great commandment of loving. Could we observe this for a moment from perhaps some not quite usual angle? This man that was wounded was not able to seek help. We as Christians, are we reaching out to those that are not able to ask help? If the meaning of this story is spiritual, or should I say, since the meaning is spiritual, I don't think that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was interested in discussing the crime rate in the region between Jerusalem and Jericho, or statistics, or all the things that we hear nowadays that the politicians do. I think that the meaning is spiritual. Do I, as a Christian, have that compassion? First, do I have eyes to see when someone is suffering spiritually? Do I know? What does that mean? Suffering spiritually. If I suffered spiritually, then I should have that awareness. You see, we have a great high priest that is able to help us in everything that we pass through, because he suffered more, because his experience is in more details, more deep, more wide, stronger, heavier than ours. It's an amazing thing for me to say that God has experience. But he desired to have that experience, and he does. So, reaching out to those that do not ask help because they cannot. They have no strength. They have no conscience. They don't even know at that moment that they need help. And that is being done by binding up the wounds, pouring in oil and wine. One reason more to make us study this in depth and try to figure out, what did the Lord say? What is this money that he gave to the host of the inn? Did this Samaritan have any previous relationship with this wounded man? Now, the Lord did not give so many details about the service of the Samaritan done to the wounded man. The man was stripped of his raiment. Did the Samaritan give him something to cover his own nakedness? But in any case, when we look at this, why this Levite and the priest didn't have compassion? And if they did not have compassion, why would they even look at this man? Why didn't they just pass on and do as some of the prophets did, as they were instructed, not even greeting anyone, just hasting to fulfill their assignment? This Levite, why did he come to see? Why is it necessary to see if he has no intention to help? Or did he hope that it's not that bad, so perhaps this wounded man needed a little help that would be convenient to offer and then earn something, at least some thanksgiving or some recognition? Why would this man stop and look and then do nothing and go his way? Well, these are all the questions that I would hope we would find some answers in our Bible study. And I hope that I'll be able to share some of these answers with people that will perhaps listen to this tape. When our Lord asked the lawyer who was the neighbor, did the Lord answer the question of the lawyer? The lawyer asked, who is my neighbor? And the Lord answered, asked the question, who is the neighbor to him that was wounded? And the lawyer said, the one that had mercy, that had compassion on him. What does that mean? Indirectly, but sufficiently clear answer. to the lawyer is, do not ask who is your neighbor. But look around, see an opportunity, seize that opportunity and be a neighbor to those that are in need. Don't look for the neighbors expecting that they be neighbors to you, but you be a neighbor to them. In other words, be a brother. Be a Christian to everyone around you. As you journey, as the Lord allow you to be instrumental in reaching out, in sharing the gospel, in helping those that are in need. Now, so far, as I was sharing with you, I'm talking about the spiritual side. Does that necessarily mean that we have nothing to do with the physical needs of the suffering? I don't think so. But our task, our assignment, as the witnesses of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is the gospel. And for the sake of the gospel, we should reach out even to help in physical needs as we can. But not necessarily to improve the situation in the world, to make this world better. If we want to be kind, and we should be, to someone, if we go out of our way to help someone, it would be for the purpose of reaching out with the gospel. Not to help the people continue in their sins. When someone sinned, we should not offer another sin to help them get out of the first sin. If someone is involved in immoral living, we should not give them instruction how to avoid the consequences. You know what that means? That's a double fornication. Physical and spiritual. We are helping them to worship their idol. And Christians should not do that. And if anyone does, should quickly repent and turn away from that evil. Our duty, our calling, is not to provide shelter for the homeless. Just one example. Do they need a shelter? Yes, they do. But if that shelter, if we can provide a shelter, if that shelter will help us to reach out with the gospel, then it has a purpose. To offer a shelter to someone, especially to the ones that don't want a shelter, that just enjoy being here and there and drawing attention of the people and seeking compassion for the moment, and then they go on living their way, not desiring to improve. I don't feel that helping the world to continue in sin is a Christian calling. And we can think about that and again share and discuss that. When our Lord healed someone, it was to reach, to touch the heart and the soul of the person. When our Lord fed the hungry, it was in order to tell them the word of God. The Lord did not open a great, huge restaurant so that the people can come and eat anytime they want to. So, everything that we do, and that is in this story, I believe, the main line. Have compassion for the suffering and reach out to call them, to to bring them, to draw their attention to the Savior, to the Word of God. That is our calling. And we can have compassion for the suffering if we remember that we suffered so much in our time. If we remember our struggle against sin, and if that struggle did not happen and passed away, if we are still striving to live godly, we will know who is suffering and who needs the help, and we will have the compassion. Why? Well, compassion is a gift from the Lord, and the gifts of the Lord are given to those that walk with the Lord. Now, when I say all this that I said, and that's only a small portion of what could and should be said about or explained and understood from this story that the Lord told to the lawyer, when I say as little as I said to you, I feel that there is so much that I myself should learn about this story from the Gospel of the Lord, how to reach out, how to exercise compassion, how to bind up the wounds and pour in oil and wine, how to bring them on my own beast, or should I say the Lord's beast, how to use the means, the things that the Lord has provided already, and how to pray for the things that I need in order to be more efficient, how to bring a person into an inn and take care of that person, and how can the Lord, even through my weak hands, give some money to the host of the inn to take care of this wounded man? There are so many things that I need. So, I see only one way, beloved. Continue in prayer and study the Word of God and pray for understanding. And then strive. Not only praying, not only studying, but as much as I understand, strive to do that, to practice that. You see, when the Lord sent the disciples first time to proclaim the gospel, that the kingdom of God is at hand, they still had only partial knowledge, only limited understanding, and still a lot of misunderstanding. And yet he did send them, and as long as they obeyed the words that he commanded them, they did heal, they did help, they did proclaim the Word of God. And they were very happy when they returned back. They joyfully told the Lord that his word was powerful in their mission, in their experience. And that's another thing that is important. I want to pray and seek the Lord's help and his guidance to do his will and to do it cheerfully, to enjoy it, not to say, oh, how heavy this wounded man is, and look how messy, I will stain my own garments before I can help him, and so on. And that does happen. Often when we want to help a sinner, sin will clutch to our mind and our heart, and we need cleansing. And a lot of prayer and meditation is necessary, that helping the others, I myself be not cast away. So I will have to close with this, and again I hope that the Lord will help us and bless His word and guide us in our sharing the word, so that we, with that desire to reach out to the others with the healing power of the Lord and with His peace in our heart and with His joy in our souls, that we can share the gospel of love. And so the Lord would bless us and help us to love Him with more of our heart, with more of our soul, with more of our strength, and with more of our mind, and then love our neighbor more than we did in the past. And in that, I believe that our Lord and Savior will be exalted and pleased, and our Heavenly Father be honored.